Cinco. Hey, how's it going, guys? This is GXRP Perez, and we're back again for another small hot topic. And I'm here with go ahead.
Hello, hello, guys. Digital Asset Daily here.
Oh. And what are we going to give them today, Digital Assets Daily?
I think the hot topic right now in the community and on the news and the Twitter feed is digital gold.
All right. And I know you and me have been looking into it. And we found some pretty interesting stuff.
Yeah, I think it's pretty interesting.
How big of a deal do you think this is from a 1 through 10?
Oh man, at least a 7.
7.5?
At least.
All right. I'll give it a 7.5. Now, yeah. We're going to dig in and we're going to start this off with digital gold. Label shifts as XRP correlation to gold outpaces Bitcoin. You want to start it off right there?
Sure. Sounds good.
All righty. So right now I'm going to start it where it says up until the most recent correction, Bitcoin price was repeatedly pushed above 10,300 and attempting to reach a 2020 high above 9,500. 2020 started with a strong upward trend, and altcoin followed Bitcoin's price action, as thoroughly reported in Cointelegraph. This aggregated trend leaves the door open for a full bullish period ahead, since the last Bitcoin high growth period was between April and June 2019. The volatile behavior observed since the start of the year may be causing the traditional assumptions associated with Bitcoin and other top currencies to be challenged. One of those assumptions is the belief that Bitcoin is closely connected to gold. What do you think about that?
I think I like the idea of gold, but I think, in my opinion, I think the misperception or misunderstanding with that is that if something is backed by that product, that it's fixed permanently there. And my perspective of that, I think if it's backed by the gold specific, I won't stray from that since that's the conversation. To me, the way I understand it to be backed by gold means it's fixed as it can't go lower, but it can go higher as the volume and the use case. To me, that's like the base, the starting point.
Okay.
Instead of, for example, where are we at, like 27 cents today? If it's backed by gold, I don't want to...
We'll get to that.
Give away the surprise, because we're going to get to that in a video.
Okay.
And now, my opinion would be the starting price for it to build up higher from there.
Give me
that's one, the way I would understand
one,
it.
One split second. I'm just going to open that door real quick. Hold on. Sorry about that.
Perfect timing. I'll take a sip of water.
All right. I'm back. So now we're going to continue that. I agree with you 100%. Just the idea of something being backed by gold, you're talking about high numbers. Now, you're going to have to talk governments when you're dealing with this. So this is what we're waiting for pretty much. Whether it's Bitcoin, whether it's XRP, the whole whatever case it is, as long as the digital currency is backed by gold, that's what we want, right? Now, yep. Us being the XRP community, this is where our little, you know, research comes into play. Am I right?
Absolutely.
So I'm going to go ahead and continue reading where it says cryptocurrencies and the precious metals narrative. Sound good to you?
Sounds good.
All right. So a previous analysis reported by Cointelegraph has shown that the digital gold narrative attributed to Bitcoin may not be realistic as investors believe. The lack of significant relationships between Bitcoin returns and gold returns, as well as the low correlations across the year, are contributing to the challenge of the narrative. The same can be said about the association between Litecoin and digital silver. The critical analysis of the relationships between cryptocurrencies and precious metals open the doors for further research. So now they're talking about how, you know, they correlate them because, you know, Bitcoin is gold, number one, and then you have like Litecoin is silver, so they correlate it with silver. It kind of like you know, that's what they've been saying throughout the years. But is that necessarily true? Is what they're trying to say here, and it's not. It's not true. It's just that they put it as a value just because of the look of the coin, the description, and you know, it's all word of mouth. It's not really. There's no facts behind it. So now we're gonna go ahead. Oh, what's your opinion on that? I'm sorry.
No, I agree, and I have. I've always had an opinion too on, you know, as coming in through into the system through the Bitcoin and having Litecoin, believing, you know, I kind of believed that theory when I first got into crypto.
Yeah, we all did.
Digital assets. That was just the way I thought. Okay, Bitcoin is gold. Litecoin is silver. Great. I'll get tons of Litecoin. It's cheaper.
You always have to have your number one, your number two, your number three, because everything that we do is by numbers. So it's like you want to put it on a list from 1 through 10. Okay, which one's the most pricey? Which one is that's just the way it is.
Absolutely. I have a new theory on that. I don't know. Maybe I'll wait till later on that. I don't want to.
Okay.
So didn't do any much here and give it away yet on my theory of what's gold and silver yet.
No problem. We'll get to that. So I'm going to continue this article and correlations between top 10 cryptocurrencies and gold. By analyzing the correlation between the top 10 cryptocurrencies in the market and gold returns during January 2020, we unexpectedly found that XRP, rather than Bitcoin, has the strongest correlation to gold. XRP is correlated at 34.1%, while Bitcoin is correlated at 21.5%. Moreover, both Ether and Bitcoin Cash share a very similar correlation to gold, as Bitcoin does with 20.1% and 19% respectively. Yeah. All right, so you wanted to say something?
No, I was just saying, wow, it's pretty significant.
Okay, so
34.1 versus 21.5, that's a pretty big gap in there.
Yeah, I know. It's getting a little more bullish as we read. I'm going to start shaking people's chairs, you know. So, in the opposite direction, Tether, USDT, has an inverse correlation with gold at a negative 37.7%. This is surprising since the behavior of a stable coin like USDT could be more correlated with a precious metal like gold than a much volatile coin like Bitcoin. A correlation of 100% means that each cryptocurrency and gold moves completely in the same direction. While 100% correlation means they are inversely related. Or in simpler terms, when one goes up, the other goes down. A correlation of 0% means that each cryptocurrency and gold is not related in any way. And then they show us a little chart here, and on the chart, it actually says correlation with gold in percentage. So then you have on the bottom, it'll give you the Binance coin, Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash, Bitcoin SV, Cardano's, EOS, Ethereum, Litecoin, Tether, and XRP. And then it says in between, it says correlation between Bitcoin and the top 9 currencies since January 1st, 2020. And Dad, why don't you explain to us what it pretty much specifies here, like which one's going higher, which is going lower. You have the 20 and a negative 20. So go ahead and explain right there what you're seeing.
From the chart?
Yes.
The thing, I have a couple of interesting questions of why there aren't a couple other ones added there, but we'll move on from there. The charting starts at zero and goes positive, or zero and goes negative. The interesting thing is the Bitcoin SV is negative. It's looking probably, I don't know, negative five-ish. And then you have Tether at a negative, I think they had the numbers actually listed for Tether. What was it?
Negative 37.7%. Yes.
So that was pretty massive. Oh yeah. Okay. I see the numbers now. Down here is a negative 40. So yeah, 37.7. And then you have in the positive, I don't know if it mentioned that up there, but the Binance coin.
Binance, Bitcoin. Bitcoin Cash.
And again, you're probably looking at what, like 17 positive or a plus 17. Bitcoin is around the, I think they said 0.21 or a positive 21. Bitcoin Cash, you're right around like 19, 20. Then you have the Cardano is probably around 5 positive 5 or plus 5. EOS is probably like a plus 11. And then you have Ethereum that's probably really close to like a plus 20. And Litecoin, I think they even gave us that number up above. I thought I heard it somewhere. But they are probably around a plus 10. And then you have the XRP obviously doing really amazing. It was like plus 34.1%. So you can see the difference, and Tether in the opposite direction. And I know a lot of people were frustrated over the past few years with Tether, as they're saying that's basically what's propping up Bitcoin. When they're printing a lot of Tether, they're pumping in that, then usually the price of Bitcoin has coincided with that for the past few years, and Bitcoin price starts pumping.
All righty. So now that he's giving you guys the description, you guys kind of have an idea. Bitcoin doesn't even touch XRP when it comes to them being correlated. So let's continue reading, which that's the bullish part. That's what we're looking for. Based on that, I'm going to go ahead and keep reading. Correlation between Bitcoin and the top nine. Okay, that we read that. By looking at a wider time frame, the 2019, the assumption that Bitcoin is more related to gold is sustained. Bitcoin is correlated at 15.5% with gold for the entirety of 2019, being the most correlated currency with gold from the top 10. As seen before, Bitcoin Cash is the second most correlated currency with Bitcoin at 8.2%, followed by Bitcoin SV at a 7.3% for the entirety of 2019. XRP is less correlated, 7.1%, with gold than in 2020, challenging the idea that a stronger correlation can be sustained over a long-term period. And then they have a chart, and they have the chart that it shows a correlation for 2019, not 2020, correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And based on that, Bitcoin is through the roof. Binance Coin is below. Then you have Bitcoin Cash, which is midway. So pretty much they're just showing you the 2019. I'll leave the link under, and you guys can go ahead and check that out. So I'm going to continue here where it says, outstanding cumulative returns since the start of the year. So the start of 2020 witnessed the start of a strong positive trend. If an investor bought any of the top 10 cryptocurrencies between January 1st, 2020 and February 9, 2020, they would be looking at a cumulative return of at least 134% when Tether is excluded from the analysis. From the top nine currencies, Bitcoin produced the least profit, shifting one's emphasis to the possible altcoin bull run ahead. The biggest positive trend was seen by Bitcoin SV and Bitcoin Cash, with a cumulative return of 228% and 179% respectively. Other top coins like Binance Coin, BNB, EOS, Ether, Litecoin, Tezos, and XRP offered investors a cumulative return between 138% and 167%. Meanwhile, gold prices grew by slightly more than 4% in January. And then they show you a chart of the cumulative returns in percentage. And they show you Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash, Bitcoin SV, and XRP. Am I right?
Yep.
Okay. And then they give you kind of like the colors and they show you the chart. We're going to leave that in the description so you guys can take a look at those charts. And I'm going to continue reading where it says, which is digital gold, XRP or Bitcoin? Take a guess. Hurry up. What's your guess?
Oh, you're talking to me or the audience here?
You and the audience. So let's continue reading.
We know the XRP is going to be the gold.
Boom. Okay, so a recent report from Coinbase suggests that Bitcoin will come closer to becoming digital gold due to the underlying features of the network, which are similar to the one and shared by gold, as the scarcity of the asset aligns with the assumed bullish period ahead. However, the results also show that since the start of the year, XRP has been the cryptocurrency most correlated to gold, and Bitcoin follows in second place. As we move forward in 2020, the relationship between gold and Bitcoin may come closer to one observed throughout 2019, when the digital asset was the most correlated coin to gold. And that's where that article actually ends. So, thoughts? Digital assets daily?
As an investor, I mean, with a lot of research, you basically knew this was going to come anyway. Again, the thoughts that come to my mind is you have Mark Carney saying about a year or so ago that says in the next 5 years, I won't know what Bitcoin is. And then you had Steven Mnuchin, who said, I think it was a year or two ago, that within the next next 10 years, that Bitcoin will be a memory. Then you have President Trump coming out and saying he doesn't like Bitcoin mm-hmm. and cryptocurrencies. Nothing against digital assets or XRP or Ripple or any of the connecting. But you do have him, for some reason, like an NSYNC, it seems like an attack on Bitcoin right now. And then I'll skip the next statement because I can't remember exactly how it came out, but someone from Ripple recently said something kind of supporting this article.
Okay. Thank you for that. Also, I wanted to bring up that I think everybody in the community is pretty fond of Hodor.
Yeah, Hodor.
He's a blog writer. He's like the grandpappy of the community. He pretty much gives us solid information, or he tries to be as solid as possible when it comes to XRP in a very detailed manner. He was very known in the community, and me and Dad were looking through the research, and he kind of made a good point in one of his blogs, and we're going to go ahead and put him on and show you guys what we were talking about. So here it says, this was in 2017, so imagine how long ago this was, you know?
You know, you're 3 years almost.
This is what we found to be pretty interesting. So XRP poised to become digital gold. And if you want, DAD, you want to go ahead and touch base on this one, read a couple of paragraphs and I'll take over?
Sure, no problem. A cool thing with Hodor too, we'll add in for the new people, is in a few of Brad Garlinghouse's interviews, it's been brought out, even in the interviewer, has mentioned to him that Hodor was basically one of his favorite blogs to read.
I remember that. I think there was a video that he actually mentions it. I'll try to find it. If I find it, then I'll put it in the video. But if not, then you guys can do your own research. But it was pretty funny. Yeah, he did mention how one of his favorites in the community was Hodor because of his blogs, which everybody was pretty much into his blogs. He was like the number one little star.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh.
All right. So we'll get right into his article, the XRP poised to become digital gold. The anticipation is tactile, like a drop in the air pressure before a thunderstorm. Will XRP take over all of crypto in 2018? We've retaken our number three spot multiple times now, and let's be honest, it was never about the number three spot. It was about the coveted number one spot in crypto. Right now, Bitcoin, the cryptocurrency that was the first mover in crypto, is considered the most well-known crypto, and that's understandable. It was the first. And the famed Satoshi Nakamoto white paper was all about Bitcoin. It serves to be nothing more than it ever was, a decentralized, no counterparty risk virtual currency. It's an innovation that has been rewarded with massive investment by speculators. Each day, over $10 billion worth of value now flows back and forth between buyers and sellers of Bitcoin worldwide. Compare this to XRP's new average of $1 billion per day. It puts matters in perspective. And it also illuminates our path and shows us our current location.
Now, based on that, it's crazy how this was in 2017, and he's pretty much touching the nail on the head as far as that goes. So I'm going to go ahead and read the XRP liquidity. right?
Absolutely.
Okay, so XRP liquidity is rising every day and week. $1 billion in daily volume is exactly where Bitcoin was back on May 21st, 2017. At that point, Bitcoin was averaging around $1 billion per day in trading. Note that I'm quoting a point in timeless than in time less than 6 months ago. Cue the jaw drop. So it says, if you're not amazed by that growth, you should be. That means that Bitcoin volume has been multiplied by 10 and XRP volume by approximately the same percentage. This is great news for the main use case of XRP as a replacement for the Nostro accounts. There is now enough volume in XRP each day to move larger value through the network without causing volatility. We, the collective we, including Ripple, were waiting for this point. Before we reached our current levels of volume, the production use case for XRapid and Qualix focused on micropayments. No more. XRP has now reached a level of liquidity that exists only among the major global payers, players. Sorry. Somebody could buy a house with XRP and not even see the price rise fall by a fraction of a cent. That's the kind of liquidity we wanted, and now it's here. So you want to take over? Well, first of all, what do you think about the liquidity situation? And then we'll touch base with Ripple's plans.
The liquidity, I think, today's current rebranding of ODL, the on-demand liquidity, I've always believed that from research, you know, I've done a lot of it together.
Not only research, but even conversation, you always tend to go back to its liquidity situation. Because you touch base more on the mathematical portion of it, also going into our debt situation, all those come into play, economic, and you're pretty fond of all those numbers. So you bring it up a lot and you compare it and you've shown me a lot when it comes to that. So credits to you. Kudos, buddy.
But I think to be honest, I think the liquidity, I feel like it's already there, because even in research, our research that we do together, I mean, we've pretty much connected it to every financial institution, either directly or indirectly.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So I feel like whether they're waiting, and it seems to be like, and Brad, the Garlinghouse interview that we just had with Julia Chatterley, the thing that he kept saying over and over and over again, literally like he was pounding it in, emphasizing, whether it was to the regulators or whether it was to the community.
Can I just ask a question?
Regulation, regulation, regulation. So I feel once the regulation is clear, they have regulatory clarity. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's going to be, okay, let's flip the switch, because I feel like they're already connected. Because if you go back, some of the partnerships began in 2015 and they're still active today. We're talking 5 years. So that's pretty significant. And then you look at all of the testing and the stuff going on with like the CBDCs. It's now coming out, but they've been doing this for a long time, you know?
Okay. And a question I wanted to ask you, I'm pretty sure people are curious. Why is it that when Julia asked Brad Garlinghouse about XRP being a good investment, he spoke highly of Bitcoin instead of XRP? Why is that? Why do you think that is?
I have a couple different answers. Number one, he's a CEO. So he can't so much promote something, in my opinion, in my perspective, he can't so much promote that in the sense that they own so much of XRP as a currency, because it would come off. Remember, they're still in a lawsuit for the security issue. There's a lot he can't say because it could destroy the case.
Didn't that case get tossed? No, that was the other case. Okay,
We're waiting for the judge's final decision on that.
That's right. I forgot about that.
But if he's, you know, if he starts promoting, let's say, you know, XRP is the best digital asset ever, the case is not closed. You, not only do you have the NDAs, but he could say something incorrectly that could make the judge go, wait a second, the way he said that, that sounds more like a security to me. So there's a lot he can't say as the CEO of Ripple, because it could interfere with the open court case still. But I believe even as, I'm totally blanking on his name, the regulator said, and we've shared it on Twitter before the video, where he said a typical digital asset could start off as a security, and over time it could actually become a commodity through the changes and through the regulations.
Mnuchin? No.
No, it wasn't Mnuchin. I forget. I'm totally blanking on his name. We shared the video on our Twitter of the actual conversation. Didn't think to have it ready for this to pull it up. But again, on my other thought too was the NDAs. And as a company, if you're, you know, for example, if you're guiding and promoting XRP, I still feel like there's a small percent that if he stays on the side of Bitcoin, he keeps a lot of the discussion in the community, keeps it like a little more under control. Because if he comes out and says, you know, obviously he owns Bitcoin, but if he says, you know, my favorite is Bitcoin, or I'm invested in Bitcoin, then it keeps a lot of the civility between all the communities. Because you know, you and I understand that we, like, it's going to take multiple. And a lot of these aren't even in competition with each other. So why not promote something else?
Correct.
You know, like yours is going to be successful. Might as well promote something else if it's not even in competition.
And also in a marketing, from a marketing perspective, it's a smart idea to do that as well. Mind you, I'm just saying, because the community, obviously that's going to be one of the questions they're going to ask. But from a marketing standpoint, Bitcoin is the most recognized cryptocurrency out there. It's not XRP, it's Bitcoin. Like when you, like we've talked before, when you go in the street, when you talk to someone, you know,
absolutely.
What's XRP? I have no idea. What's Bitcoin? Oh yeah. That cryptocurrency, right? Yeah. You know, so it's a good marketing, situation for them when it comes to that, because, now they're attaching it with Bitcoin through the CEO and on live TV.
Yeah.
So the more Bitcoin they add in there, the closer people want to know about this thing. So, okay. That's what I wanted to add in there, and I appreciate you giving me that, and we'll continue. What do you think?
Yeah, sounds good.
That's where we left off, right? I asked you about what you thought about that situation, because we spoke about it, and then there was nothing after that, correct?
No, that was it.
Okay, so we'll go ahead and go into Ripple's plan. Ripple's plans. You want to read that section? Okay.
Sure. Cool. If there was any doubt from the XRP fan base about Ripple, the company, understanding the importance of promoting their coin, it can be dismissed. After the initial April-May rally, and then the subsequent ROTG, the Rally of the Gods, in December, there is very little in the way of room for self-doubt in the importance of coin promotion. To the XRP fan base, I'm not talking about marketing it to the banks. I'm talking about marketing XRP to you and me. Don't get me wrong. Historically, some team members of Ripple understood that for liquidity to build, it needed to be built with ordinary investors in crypto. This is true regardless of how much the actual production usage of that crypto is palatable to banking customers, some of the most conservative customers in the world. Yes, I understand that the sensibilities of banking customers are delicate. Banks and financial institutions do not like provoking the ire of regulators. Because of this, Ripple has been cautious since its inception in 2012 in dealing directly with those of us first adopter investors. And then 2017 happened. The power of the crypto market is undeniable now, and its influence is growing rapidly. At first, the crypto market was a funny anecdote for some financial analysts, and it's still mocked by comedians in various media, but it still hasn't hit its stride. Here is where the crypto market capitalization numbers are heading. Note the slope of the curve has almost become a 90-degree angle.
And
Dad, what do you think? Why don't we leave this here? Because people are going to get confused as towards our point. Because he's kind of just getting into ripple period. He's not really touching base, you know, with that situation. What do you think?
I agree.
Yeah? So you, I agree. Because we have a lot to cover. And, I mean, this is fantastic. This is great. But I think people will get confused if we continue with this.
I agree.
Yeah? So the next thing that we wanted to talk about, DAD, do you have a specific order in which you want to play this? Or do you want to just go into where we talk about
Judy Sheldon.
Judy Sheldon. You want to jump into Judy Sheldon? Should we play the video first?
Yeah, let's play the video of Judy Sheldon here.
Okay. So we're going to go ahead and play a video for you guys. And then after, we'll go ahead into space. So. And we're back. So after playing that for you guys, you guys get an idea of where we're gonna be headed. She is on the advisor team, the financial and economic financial advisor team in the Trump campaign, right? Correct?
Yeah, I'm not even sure if it was official yet. We know she was the nominee for the Federal Reserve.
She's a part of the team. She's a part of Trump's team. But she was picked by Trump to go ahead and become?
Yeah, and to the governor of the Federal Reserve Board.
Boom. So that's why she's very important, and this is why we're touching topic on her. So where do you want to take it from here, DAD?
You know, let's go into this quick article that I think is pretty good. There's also a video of it, but we found the article too last year, where Sheldon called for a new Bretton Woods conference akin to the 1944 meeting that established the post-war economic order, perhaps to be held at Mar-a-Lago, where a return to the gold standard could be considered. "We make America great again by making America's money great again," she wrote in the Journal of the Cato Institute, a libertarian think tank.
Boom. All right. Do you need it? Do we need to say no more?
Should we just not on that one? I think she's pretty nailed it, you know?
Oh, I'm saying, like, that's massive, right? And why is it massive, DAD? Why did we highlight this little paragraph right here?
Well, the Bretton Woods connects back to the gold standard, and now you have Judy Sheldon coming into the gold standard, and President Trump has stated he wants to bring the USD, the US currency, actually, he states more accurately, US currency, back to a gold standard. And again, when you come into the news today, which started this entire video for us, was the community now saying that XRP is beginning to look more like the gold standard. And a lot of discussion, from like Bearable Guy and the other Riddlers, they keep bringing up the 589 gold standard, and then.
But don't give it all away. Don't give it all away, buddy.
Not going there yet. Not going it there yet. Just wanted to refresh all of the people, because you know everybody knows about the bear, whether they like the bear or not the bear. But I personally don't follow it tightly like that. But I love me personally how the community gets into that. And it's not so much the focus on the bear, but it's bringing the community together.
Exactly. It's entertainment. It's like a show, like, oh, the bear's back. Woo! And then the morale back up. But like Venture would say, oh baby bear. so from there, we also found that and you were talking about it, which was the how we're connecting Ethereum with XRP.
Yeah.
And let's go ahead and jump into that.
Oh, really quick though, on the last, I'll close off with that. Because she mentioned Mar-a-Lago, just want to add a quick note with that, which correlates back to President Trump's Florida home and his connection.
West Palm?
Yep. So when she mentions Mar-a-Lago, a lot of people aren't going to understand that is a direct correlation to Donald Trump.
Got it.
And another thing, too, for the new people that are not going to understand, what's exciting about Donald Trump, a lot of people say, you know, he doesn't know anything about crypto. He doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
But he's the one that signed the executive order.
Exactly.
In his second week.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So whoever doesn't know that needs to start jotting that on paper and start noting that he's been into crypto and accepting crypto for what it is since the beginning. I mean, we're about to start, what is it? He's about to start his second term as president because, you know, he's in 2020. But him coming into office and doing that within the second week is like a major breakthrough for those that didn't know. And for us, it was amazing. I think that this is all coming together the way that it should. And this is what we're trying to get at. So you guys start to connect the dots from him writing the executive order to where we are now, to how far crypto has gotten in the market and how far we want it to go in order for us to see some results. And if certain things happen, the results that we're going to get are going to be fantastic. But go ahead, Dad.
No, that's pretty much it. Finishing up with this article. As a new people don't understand, like you mentioned on Executive Order 13772, you know, feel free to pull it up as you can see here connecting with this article.
I actually have something for you. I actually called Donald Trump and I told him to come into our stream and he's
perfect.
The executive order, you know, with Christine.
Hello, Starr. Mr. President.
Mr. Lagarde, and we have our famous, who's this guy right here? Brad Gardinghouse, right?
Oh, nice.
Our little on and off switch right here. Our variable guy's like right there. You see him? He's right there. Right?
Go ahead, flip that switch.
Go ahead, flip that switch. Let me get that out of the A. And then back here, we have a little formula right here. Formula, executive order up here. And guess who signed it? Not me. Not that. Look, what is there right there? Donald Trump. Am I right?
Absolutely.
All right. So we can keep going on. Keep on moving on.
Bye. Another thing too, thinking about that too, a lot of people don't also, just to add more credibility to Donald Trump knowing more about the cryptocurrency, his son-in-law, Jared Kushner.
Yeah, I heard he was big on crypto as well.
I mean? So he's very big with cryptocurrencies. And what was it? I believe it was Robinhood. Wasn't he a part of founding that as well?
Yeah, he was.
So, even bigger. So moving on past there, we're kind of going to start interweaving on some topics, but they'll basically all be summarized at the end of the video. I think we'll have a good surprise. Don't you think?
No, I agree 100%. But we can't tell them those secrets just yet.
No, not yet. Not yet. So, I'll have to watch to the end to hear the good, the fun surprise.
The good Jack in the Box. Bing, bang, 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 right?
I think it's a Jack in the Box. I think it's a good one.
Okay. So the article starts where it says Ripple Spring building interoperability of bridges between XRP and ETH, which is Ethereum, for those that don't know. Ripple's investment arm, Spring, is committed to building interoperability bridges between XRP and Ethereum. Spring sponsored last weekend's hackathon and developed conference ETH Denver. And then it continues to Ripple's investments and development arm, Spring, plans to build a bridge of financial connectivity between Ethereum and XRP. According to a blog post on the official Spring website, the crypto development company has announced its intention to increase interoperability between XRP and ETH. Spring, which bills itself as an open developer platform for money, sponsored the ETH Denver event held last weekend. The Spring team was inevitably asked about Ripple's backed enterprise supporting Ethereum, to which they replied. And Dad, go ahead and read the reply.
Spring is default open, meaning we build open source software, open protocols, and open standards, and we love to work with others that do too.
The post claims nearly all of Spring's 40 plus engineers work on open source software, and that the company is committed to supporting multiple forms of development on the XRP ledger. The post also explained the importance of interoperability between cryptocurrencies projects. Dad?
We believe that developers should be given a choice on how to solve their problems, which is one of the reasons why we think interoperability is so important for crypto and blockchain technology to reach mainstream adoption.
In order to support interoperability, Spring sponsored three challenges in the lead up to ETH Denver. Each of the challenges was centered around building bridges between XRP and Ethereum through the Inner Ledger Protocol, ILP. The post concluded by reiterating Spring's commitment to open development and growth interoperability. Go ahead, Dad.
And we look forward to working with more blockchain communities in the future.
And then it says, and then it has, well, I think that's where the article ends, correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
All right, so let's go ahead and talk about this article real quick. And what did you intake from this article?
I think it's great that they're showing basically how Ripple Spring, which is basically XRP, not only does it is a bridge asset, but it bridges assets.
Correct. And now that they're working with and very closely with Ethereum, which is number two coin, based off, it was based, like we said before, Nick Szabos was the one who created the smart contracts. And now you're working with one of the biggest, well-known, decentralized platforms in the world when it comes to cryptocurrencies. And then you have your cross-border payment, which they don't stop talking about within governments, and that's why we're so big on it. And as you can see prior with Judy Shelton, with Donald Trump, with Christine Lagarde, with you name it, it's in there. It's labeled as the pretty much biggest within its use case now. You match that up with Ethereum, and then you're playing with Bitcoin, and then you're playing with gold, and it's endless, right?
Yeah. So
start adding the values of all these being connected together, the way that Brad Garlinghouse spoke to
Judy Shelton.
No, not Judy Shelton. When Brad Garlinghouse spoke in his last interview, what was the name of
Julia Chatterley.
Yeah, yes. When you look at that and then you start to connect these, you'll start to get the idea that we're building on. And now we're going to keep moving on. I know you had another one, another article, and we're going to go ahead and touch base on that.
Yeah, building bridges. Ripple Spring proposes interoperability between Ethereum and XRP. It basically is just a little affirmation,
Yeah, it's just to
competitive of the last article. Correct.
So we're just trying to show that the articles are out there. These are articles. So regardless, do your due diligence to do your own research. We're not financial advisors. And we're just trying to bring you guys what we have knowledge of and what we were able to research and find out through the articles and stuff that we read, connecting the dots. So we just try to get as much affirmation as possible. Is that correct, Ed?
Absolutely. And what we think is important to the community and the atmosphere for XRP to start having a large value, which increases the price.
Which is amazing.
So for us, we want to research to know ourselves, and we find tons of information that we just want to share with you guys.
And it's fun, and it's great, it's amazing, and I have so much fun doing it.
Yeah, man, we have a good time together.
So we're going to move on now to something else that we found, and it is the gold chart. Is it?
The one thing we were going to discuss before that was actually the CBDC.
CBDC. Okay, there we go. See? That's why two heads are better than one?
Yeah, two heads are better than one.
There you go. So let me get on your page, and you want me to read the paragraph that we highlighted here? Or do you want?
Absolutely. Go ahead.
So Project Ubin by the Monetary Authority of Singapore, 2017 A and B concluded, after two phases of work that DLT, in particular, Corda, Hyperledger Fabric, and Quorum, is able to satisfy the key functions of a real-time gross settlement, RTGS,
interbank system in terms of volume, liquidity, savings mechanisms, gridlock resolution, security, immutability, and resilience.
Boom.
And that's pretty massive. Because I think the thing that was good that we wanted to highlight this is because there's a lot of, you know, for years there's question, will there ever be a digital currency making the CBDC? And right here we have, as you see, the reason it's in the headlines in the news this week, even with interoperability, and even David Schwartz tweeted, I believe it was today or yesterday, the thing that's going on with Ripple bridging assets between XRP and, Spring, bridging the asset between XRP and Ethereum, because right here you have it. For those of you who are new, R3 is Corda, Corda is XRP. The Hyperledger Fabric is IBM, and which is Stellar Lumens, which is XLM. Then you have Quorum, which is running off of the Ethereum platform. So now you have it, again, where they're not competition, and they're working together to solve a total problem. As Brad Garlinghouse says, they will have to all survive, and those with a use case will survive. And as you've had with Dave, even today for his, I forget the college, we even shared some of the things he said tonight on the Twitter, where he said the community, the atmosphere is really toxic right now, that we all need to come together and work together. So you can see why. If you're coming together, work together, they're already trying to work together with CBDCs, they're trying to work together with the Ethereum and XRP, and there's reasons for these. It's bigger than you can imagine.
Boom.
It's pretty massive. I mean, the whole answer, is there ever going to be one? Yes, we just showed you three right there.
Thank you. Thank you for showing me, good sir. No, but really, people need to stop arguing and start listening. You know, a perfect example of the situation is just people trying to jump over the hurdles and not really take the time to just listen, intake, search, and then speak. You know, it doesn't hurt, because like I said, we're learning, right? But yeah, we're learning with facts. Now, you know, I don't think that anybody should really get ahead of themselves in that scenario, because it's in your face. It's right there, you know?
Yeah.
Right. It's literally right there. It says it right in between those letters and everything that we've read. It's there. That's what we're talking about. Whatever else they want to talk about, or whatever else we want to talk about, what we're reading is in our face, you know? If you want to argue something, let it be put on paper. Let us see it, just like everybody likes to see it. So that's just what I wanted to put in there. We can go ahead and continue to move on. And you know exactly why, right?
Absolutely.
All righty. So from here, you wanted to take it to?
To Swift. You want to take on that one a little bit?
Up to you. You want me to read that one?
I can.
You read the last, or?
You pick. It's up to you.
All right. So Swift GPI transferred $77 trillion in 2019, almost doubling the $40 trillion transferred in 2018. Swift's transmission of $77 trillion in a cross-border payment messages over the GPI platform during 2019 implies that demand for the programmee is becoming entrenched in the bank-to-bank space. 65% of cross-border payments cross-border payment messages by Swift members were sent using GPI, with transmission corridors now numbering over 1,900. Carlos Palmers, head of payments, markets, infrastructures at Swift, tells Finextra Research that GPI is proven and is fast becoming
ubiquitous.
Ubiquitous. There you go.
It's a weird word.
Yeah, it is. Like February? No. So due to the success of GPI, we have extended the benefits of tracking and confirming payments to all financial institutions on SWIFT. Since December 2019, every institution on SWIFT can access our basic tracker, and we have already seen many across the world taking advantage of this. Front of mind for financial institutions in strengthening the security and traceability of cross-border payments. As cyber criminals attempt to leverage weak points of innovative payment system for SWIFT, the near real-time capability of GPI provides a brace against incursions into its core territory from competitive providers like Ripple. Further, regulatory authorities are increasingly directing the onus of the system's strength and security onto institutions themselves, meaning they're obligated to ensure compliance protocols are sufficiently robust. Palmers explains, there are a number of GPI features which help protect institutions against payment fraud. The GPI tracker provides the precise location of payments, giving complete visibility to financial institutions, operations teams, who can detect fraud faster by tracking a payment along its journey. In January this year, Standard Chartered switched on the cross-border payment tracker. With global head of transaction banking, Lisa Robbins, commenting, corporations and financial institutions around the world relay on the confirmations of payments to facilitate the movement of goods and services in order to support the healthy growth of supply chains. Palmer continues, however, visibility solves only half the problem. When they see an issue, what can they do? SWIFT GPI allows a transaction to be stopped instantly, regardless of its location in the payment chain, thanks to a unique tracking code associated with each transaction. In addition, Palmer says, every bank in the chain is notified at the same time. And if the payment was already credited, the instructed bank receives an immediate recall of funds anecdotally we've heard from banks that they have been able to fend off a suspected fraud attempts using stop and recall. Palmer observes that the GPI allure remains strong for a number of reasons. It's fast. Over 50% of GPI payments are credited to and beneficiaries within 30 minutes. 40% in under 5 minutes, and almost 100% of GPI payments are credited within 24 hours. Its trackable financial institutions and their end customers can track their payments flows end to end and in real time. And it's transparency. And that's where the article ends. Sorry, it's some of those words are a little tongue twisters, but I'm getting better. I'm getting better as I go, right?
Oh, you did fine, man.
So go ahead and preach. Preach to the choir, good sir.
Yeah, the greatest thing from this entire article is the increase in the volume is extremely massive. Going basically from the 40 trillion in 2018 up to 77 trillion 2019. And the reason I think that this is so important as we kind of interweave throughout this video, for a reason, it'll all add up at the end.
Don't give it away. Don't give it away, good sir.
No, I'm not giving away anything. right after this, I think we should go. The video kind of explains itself right here.
Okay. So you're talking about the video, the CEO.
Which was actually acquired by Stellar and became the CEO of Interstellar. Which is still, you know, basically Stellar.
Okay. So we're going to go ahead and play that video for you guys. And we're going to play it now.
All right. And we're back. So, Dad, take over.
All right. Well, I think here's where it's going to start getting fun. As an investor, you know, the number one thing that we're here for is money. We want to profit. We want to make money. What is XRP going to do for us? Going back to how this whole video began with GXRP Perez and I, it started with XRP being digital gold.
Boom. If
XRP is digital gold, how are we going to figure this out? What is that going to mean to anything? How much gold has been mined? We know that there is a total, and we found this number in a few consistent places, so we grabbed one which was visible and easy to see. 190,040 tons of gold. Now, as we click into the next article here, knowing that there is 190,040 tons of gold, we go into the gold chart of the decade. Math suggests for everything to work smoothly, and this does connect directly back to XRP, the perfect number is $10,000 per ounce. And I don't want to go too far into this article because then we're going to lose focus of the whole point. But we did simplify it out for you.
You see what
the total gold supply. Yeah, I can see that. That's beautiful. The gold supply total, you have 190,040 tons. There's 32 ounces per ton. So if you multiply these two together, you're going to come out with your 6,081,280,000 ounces. And multiply that now times the $10,000 per ounce, you're going to come up with 60,812,800,000. Now you're going to divide that by the total supply of XRP at 100 billion total supply, and it comes up with your $600 per XRP if it is backed by gold.
Oh God. Oh.
That's pretty massive. And remember, when they're backing it by gold, that just means that the price of gold or the price of XRP could instantly be $600 per XRP, which means it would never go lower, would never go below that. Price could always increase backed by other things. It's use case, it's volume.
It's going to be regulated.
Liquidity. But that would mean that's the rock bottom. Instead of 27 cents, it could instantly be at that $600.
At that number, 589.
Yeah, there's your 589. You know, you hear it over and over, we hear the 589. There it is. Just back in my gold.
This is the number we really wanted to give you guys because after doing the research, we were like, wow. You know, Dad did all the math. I did all the writing and the typing. And then we said either 589 or?
The 600.
The 600 number. So you're right around that range. And then this is what the... This is the number that we really wanted to pretty much express how everything's interconnected. I know we have a few other things to connect the dots, which are right up there where it says Ripple.
Yep.
Pushing. And now, these just add on to what we're talking about. Also, we talked about the total value of derivatives, and we said that the total value of derivatives was 1.2 quadrillion. Am I right?
1.2 quadrillion.
So
that's a massive.
That is a massive number. And I know that I think Venture touched based on this as well. So I have to look into it. I know he touched based on it earlier, but I didn't really get to read on it because I was working. But, well, you know, we could touch base on that. There's also another, that pretty much says it all, right? When it comes to,
yeah, pretty much says it all, but we do a quick recap. If you have, you know, going back to the beginning, let's bring it back up to the top of the page really quick, just because it's a pretty picture anyway, just seeing the little digital gold label shifts as XRP correlation to gold outpaces Bitcoin. If you do have XRP backed by gold, and then you have XRP is doing CBDCs.
CBDCs.
And then you have, as you have heard in the video, and you see what Swift doing 77 trillion, if you have XRP becoming the digital Swift, and then you have XRP taking over, as it states here, Ripple pushing to launch XRP in $1 trillion derivatives market, unveils new spring investment, and then the total market of derivatives at $1.2 quadrillion.
On the high end.
On the high end.
So massive amounts of information. I am going to take these links and I'm going to put them underneath the video. Credit to Dad for all his hard work and his hard research, and me putting in my fairy dust.
Oh, it's a team effort, man.
It always is between us. It always is. We do want to do another part, so we're going to leave it off here. And we really want to know what you guys think. What do you guys think the number of XRP will reach if it does go to a gold standard? You know, if you have a different opinion on it. As a matter of fact, I'll let Dad put it in his own words because he's very good with that. So, Dad, go ahead and ask our audience a question.
I would say if it does have a gold standard and if it does fall in line with these, like the math here, mm-hmm. as we see from the total supply, that's the consistent number we found. So we used knowing the ounces per ton, knowing how the price as stated, not by our opinion, but the perfect number is to be $10,000 per ounce. As you know, that you can go to the debt clock and look in the bottom right-hand corner, and you'll see the current true U.S. dollar price per gold. We're sitting really, really close to this on the bottom right-hand corner.
Put it on the link, too. I can put that web on the link.
Yeah, perfect. That'll be perfect, because then they can see it's right there. And then you know that the total supply of XRP is 100 billion. It comes out to this. That's the 589 you've always heard. Basically, it's...
We rounded it off to 600, so...
Yeah. And then what you have here is knowing again that you have the gold, and then you would have the CBDCs, and then again you would have taking over SWIFT, and then you would have taking over derivatives at 1.2 quadrillion. Adding all of this up, and knowing that the base would be 600, how high do you think XRP could go?
$6 billion, no. That's a high number, no. I think we're gonna see it surpass, me personally, this is just me. We want your response, but I think that all of this put together, I think we're gonna surpass that 10,000 mark, but probably to 11,000. Just the numbers are just, it's just too massive for us to even understand. What about you, Dad? What's your response to that? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I've always been in for the five digits myself. I had never planned, you know, I've been holding it for, I don't know, a total of 5 years now total. And my end game is not even before 2025. So if as they stated that 2020 is the year, I'm anxious to see what happens before Christmas, basically, before the end of the year.
So
you hear a lot of excitement, even from the Ripple execs.
You think that all the holders are going to get a little card that's going to say, congratulations, we hit 12 grand or what?
Oh, I don't know. I know I'm holding for that end game. For me, it's like that 4 to 5 digits I know is coming. And I would expect easily before 2025. 2025 is their stated full maturity a date. And if, again, Chris Larson said from the internet boom, he projected us around 1995. We knew it grew until 98, 99 before it really started leveling off and peaking.
Okay.
So if you go with Chris Larson's statement, you're talking the next 4 to 5 years of constant growth. That's pretty mind-blowing.
It is mind-blowing. And actually, I could actually maybe even surprise you guys with a little video at the end of Chris Larson saying it. What do you think, DAD?
I think you should. That'd be fun. That'd be good. And we've even shared that one on our page as well. So
it's been fun, and it's always a pleasure. Please hit the like, subscribe, notification bell if you like what you saw. If you didn't like it, just put a thumbs down. I really appreciate it. If you have any questions, just leave them below and please answer Dad's question. What do you think it'll be with your base at 600 to a full maturity? What is your number? We want to know. And thank you for your time and have a good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.